is the shade when I am worn. He's the shield in my grief when there's no relief. He's the shepherd of my soul. Bless the Lord, oh bless the Lord. Bless the shepherd.
Song. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We're just going to pick right up where we left off last Sunday, and you'll notice I'm going solo up here today and tonight as well. Pastor Taylor will be home later this evening. So what am I going to preach on tonight? I've had people asking me about that, and I thought, well, let's see. Who do I want to pick on tonight? But no, we're not going to do a topical sermon tonight. We're just going to pick up where we leave off this morning and continue that tonight. Next week will be Luke chapter 2, Christmas. You'll all be here to see how I handle that, right? The Luke 2 passage, and it's not even Christmas. Let's pray before we start this. God in heaven, Lord, I pray for your help this morning. Your word is full of truth for us, all the truth that we need for matters of godliness and matters of this life. You tell us that. All the words in this book are your truth. God, help us as we approach your book this morning to approach it with reverence, humility, openness, honesty, to the truth and how it applies to each of us. God, I pray, God, help me as I present these truths to do so in a way that we can understand and digest them and do them. All of it, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Elizabeth, Mary shows up at her door. And Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, past childbearing age, but it was a work of the Holy Spirit, and her husband were expecting. Mary shows up at her door. Mary's a virgin, and she's expecting, and neither one, or Elizabeth didn't know about Mary. Mary knocks on the door. Hi, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth just is come over with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to prophesy. That's what we dealt with last week. As soon as Mary is done, or Elizabeth is done, Mary doesn't say, oh, Elizabeth, how did you know this? Not at all. Her very first response after Elizabeth is done is Mary then erupts with a song of mercy and deliverance, in fact. And in this song, she focuses on God. And I'm just going to keep pointing that out as I have been since we started Luke. It's not about Mary. It's all about God. And Mary keeps directing things back to God. And Elizabeth, through the Holy Spirit, is directing things back to God. It's not about Mary, okay? She focuses on God's salvation in this song. She focuses on the Messiah. She testifies, in fact, that some are going to welcome the Messiah and some are not. They'll just reject him. In fact, we know through other scripture that God said, some will accept me, most will not, okay? So let's start in verse 46, Luke 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. There it is, right back to God, okay? What is she doing here? Praise of God. Immediately, she's praising God. Notice, she wasn't praising herself. She wasn't, oh, yes, Elizabeth, I don't know why I have been so blessed by God that I get to be blessed by all gender. None of that. It's just all God. It's like she's not even thinking of herself. Elizabeth had said some things about her in her prophecy that she gave. And what did Mary do with the words that were said about her? God. Immediately, God. She wasn't praising herself. She wasn't thinking about things that she might accomplish and how famous she's going to be, or how people might end up making statues of her and praying to her in the future. Instead, she's, no, God. It's always about God. The uniqueness of Elizabeth's words, as we pointed out last week, since she didn't even know yet that Mary was with child, those words acted as a confirmation to Mary that this is from God. This was all really real. And Mary's faith was reassured and confirmed. God assures our faith as well, folks. Sometimes when we don't even expect it, and because we're not expecting it, sometimes I think we may miss it. Now, I know sometimes we're definitely not feeling it, but the key is demonstrated for us by Mary here. Faith comes before confirmation. And many times we want to flip that around. Yes, we want to believe. We want to have faith. We want to trust God. God, give me a sign, something that I can go on so that I can trust you. Well, that's not trust then, okay? We're bargaining in agreement with God. Faith comes first. Take that step. And then the confirmation comes. Like the priest as the Israelites were leaving Egypt and they came to the edge of the river. Okay, all right, Moses telling, okay, God says cross. Say, what? Let's see the water recede a little bit first. No, not until they stepped into the water. Confirmation came and the waters parted for them. Faith comes before confirmation. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it says this, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." The word magnify, as we read in Luke 1:46, it means to declare the greatness of. Declare the greatness of. Now, I'll just kind of throw this out tongue in cheek. I'm sure while I was praying this morning and thanking God for the snow, some of you were like, ugh, right? But think about the greatness of God in snow, okay? The fact that each flake is completely different. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And I'm not talking about just the big flakes that we like to see slowly drifting down. I'm talking about these little ones that are flying 100 miles an hour across your yard for 2 days straight. You know, each one is different. True, Mary was blessed by God, but she didn't slip into the sin of pride. She didn't think that she was God's favorite and needs to be up on a pedestal, as some people have put her today, as we sometimes put ourselves on a pedestal. We have to be careful, because the more we are blessed by God, I mean, I'm looking across this room here, a great variety of people, and some outward appearances, we would say, are more blessed than others, okay? But consider this, you've heard me say this before. You take the whole world, every one of you is in the top 3% of the wealthiest people in the world. We are so blessed by God. Absolutely. Well, I don't like my home. You are so, you have a home, okay? Don't complain about your home. You have a home. We are truly blessed. And the more we are blessed, the more dangerous the sin of pride becomes for us. This is mine. You know, when we see someone that obviously doesn't have what we have, and that thought crosses your mind, should I have? No. I worked hard for what I have. They need to develop character. They need to work hard. That's not the way it works in God's economy. That's not the words of a servant who recognizes that everything I have is God's. And the principles in God's word are there. The more we give, God gives us more, because he knows you're going to pass it on. Okay? As Americans, we're so blessed, and yet I think we are sometimes the most complaining people. What do we have to complain about? You know, I talked to a guy recently, the snow that came last week. Well, it was Josh. He and I, we were supposed to, you remember my kayak story with the river? Okay. We haven't touched it since that day. I'm still PTSD over that or something. Well, we were going to pull them out Friday and go kayak sledding in Blue Mound. We thought, oh, this sounds like fun. Let's do it. Yeah. And my wife, she would be like, no emergency room. No, don't even think about an ambulance, you know. And he had to spend his whole day digging out his driveway. Took him all day to do it, okay? But he got it done with the tools that God gave him. And I didn't hear him complain at all. I didn't get any text from him like, you know. He's like, oh, man, it's going to be a while, you know. And it was a while. But praise the Lord, he had a four-wheeler with a blade on it. That's why it took him 8 hours. He's a quarter-mile-long driveway out in the country. Woo! Hello, we need something bigger than a blade on a four-wheeler. But praise the Lord, he had a four-wheeler and a blade instead of just a shovel. Wow. Yeah. We're blessed, okay? As Christians, We have to learn to praise God more and more and more and more. We can't praise God enough. I know we probably all have stuff in our life. That's a negative thing, stuff. Some of us have big piles of stuff. We have to praise God more and more and more. The more He blesses us, the more we need to praise Him. Psalm 9, verse 11, it says, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings." So not just are we praising God for what He did, like God answering my prayer that I started praying this week for our first responders. I've made sure to praise Him multiple times since everything calmed down. But it also says in that verse there, declare among the people His doings. And that's what I'm doing, telling you how God answered my prayer to protect our first responders that were out on the road. Just praising God and telling everyone else how good God is. Now, if I spend most of my time telling everyone how good God is and how good God has been and what God's doing now, how much time do you think I'm going to have left to complain? Not very much. It kind of kicks out our complaint time, doesn't it? Just crowds it out. Oh, we could all find stuff to complain about, can't we? Yes, we could. Like 12, only 12 instead of 16 plus outside. But I'm not complaining, you know. Our last time together, Elizabeth spoke to Mary under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and Mary responded. Verse 47, and we touched on that briefly, but let's read the next two verses together, 47 and 48. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Okay, here's our second point. God was Mary's Savior. Look at what Mary said. God saw her need for a Savior. I know we touched on that a little bit last week. Mary saw her need as well. She saw, she knew she was a sinner and needed a Savior, just like you and me. And she made a personal confession, "God is my Savior." But she also points out that God saw her low estate, is how she words it. Mary knew where she had come from. In the eyes of the world, she was a nobody. She was poor. She was uneducated, unknown, insignificant, from a backwater town called Nazareth, okay? And the least in her family on top of that. She had little purpose and meaning in life but to just exist in that backwater town where she was raised. In fact, based on the expression that she uses, the low estate of His handmaiden, Mary was even considered the lowest within her own household. The least of the least of the least. Now here's a thought for us. God loves the least. And then what about today, though? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul writes, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Folks, if you think you're something, get off your pedestal. Me too. Because we're not. It's all about God. God has His way of choosing the least person in order to more clearly demonstrate his power and mercy. When he takes the least of the least, cleans them up, fixes them up, enables them, and they do something great, we all stand back like, wow, what a God thing. Have you ever heard the expression, don't forget where you came from? As believers, we need to remember where each one of us came from. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The people in our society, as we look around us, the lowest of society, those really bad sinners in our society, that was us. Before we got saved, all have sinned. God doesn't have divisions of sinners. You're just a sinner. We're still sinners, but we're saved by grace. We were in that pit of sin, as it's called in Psalms. And God reached down into that pit. Not us, okay? We didn't reach out because the Bible tells us we're spiritually dead. Dead things don't move. We just lay there and get run over by the next car, okay? God reached down and his spirit woke our spirit. That's what that verse means in the New Testament where it says he quickened us. He woke our spirit, convicted us of our sin and degradation. So far, we're just laying there. God's doing all the work. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, reaching into the pit, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much would you give for a roadkill out in front of your house? You ignore it, you leave it alone, especially during the summer. The next day when it's twice the size as it was the day before. Ugh. God looks at that. The roadkill called humanity and says, oh boy, I can't wait to get into that and restore that. No matter how long, how nothing you or we may be, God cares. We'll reach down. He'll reach out to us. He'll take us by the hand. He'll lift us up. He'll give us purpose and meaning and significance. And God will make us what he needs us to be. And then he uses us on top of that. That's why we can have purpose in life. Apart from that, think about it. Apart from God, you wipe God out of existence. What's the purpose of life? There really is none. You live and you die. And that's it. One more thing before we move on. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, we find these verses. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Jesus is the one that's in this scene here. And a woman in the crowd, she's saying, bless your mother. Blessings to her. Oh boy, Mary's getting elevated. What happened? What did Jesus say in response? In verse 28, he says, yea, rather, he's taking Mary down, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He's taking Mary off that pedestal. Once again, it's not about Mary. It's all about God. Mary then, in her song here, she then proclaims three attributes of God. So let's look at God's attributes that she gives to us. Verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him, from generation to generation, and she first points out God's power. He is mighty. The promised Messiah was soon to be born. The hope of the world was now to be fulfilled after so many generations of waiting and waiting and waiting for their deliverer to come. God's power was now to be demonstrated in a way never before witnessed. A virgin who's expecting a baby. And this Messiah was going to be born from a virgin. It was a method never before witnessed. A miracle was about to be performed. The enormous power of God was to be demonstrated. And Mary testified, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." But she also talked about God's holiness. She said, "Holy is his name." That is, God is to be set apart as different from all others. His very nature, his very being is different. And I talked about this yesterday during a funeral service that I was officiating, talking about God's goodness. Do you know why God is good? Not because he does good things. He's good because he is good. It's his character. It's his being. And I like to illustrate it this way. I am a man, not because I do man things. I'm a man because genetically, I'm a man. It's who my being is. God is good. God is holy. It's what he is, who he is. He isn't holy because he does holy things. It's because he is holy. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And then she spoke of God's mercy. God had been merciful to her. He had proven to be her personal Savior. Consider this verse in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Who is God? Who is God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Does God have a good reason to be mad at me today, do you think? Well, he don't have to agree so quickly. Yes, he does. Does God have a good reason to be mad at you, angry with you? Before we're saved? Absolutely. After we're saved? Maybe even more so, because now we know better. Angry with you because of things that you did last week that were not honoring to God. Yes. And I deserve for God to be angry with us. But he's not. Because he's merciful. That's what mercy is. Extending, I just use the word grace, to people that don't deserve it. And God is merciful not because he gives mercy, but because he is mercy. And he demonstrated also that mercy in sending the Messiah. That's where we're at here in chapter 1. Psalm 103 further supports that truth. He says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." There's a clarifier there. It's not everybody gets God's mercy. It's those that fear God. "And his righteousness unto children's children." Now, here's another attribute for our notes. God's sovereignty. Mary then begins speaking of that. Verse 51. "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty." Now, Mary here proclaims the results of the Messiah is coming. It gets a little prophetic here. Here's what's going to happen as a result of Jesus coming. She says he scattered the proud. She says they were proud in their hearts. So it's not just them that are walking around boasting and bragging about themselves and thinking they're all that plus a bag of chips. They're just pride in our hearts, okay? They think themselves better. Now, let's stop. Let's make it personal. Look around the people you crossed paths with this week. Were there any that you would say, yeah, I'm better than they are because they're a mess? That's us thinking ourselves better. People can think themselves better because of their looks, because of just who they are. Maybe it's their position in life. Think themselves better because of wealth. They think themselves better by ability. Wait a minute, back up. Wealth. How does that hurt a relationship with God? Well, I can just give money to help people, and that makes me a better person. My ability. I have ability. I don't need God. My heritage. Proud in heart, okay. Based on my heritage, I was raised in a Christian home. I'm okay with God. I went to church when I was a kid. I was baptized when I was a baby. I don't need God. I'm fine. Pride in the form of achievement. I'm a good person. I do good things. I don't need God. I'm okay with God. Pride in their minds, in their hearts. And what does that verse say? He will scatter them. Separate them from those who choose to believe. She then says in verse 52 that he's going to demonstrate or dethrone the mighty. Those that sit in positions of power and influence over others, and depending on whether or not you think your people are in office right now or not, you may be cheering like, yeah, all right, they're going to be out. These are people, not just in government, these are people that use their power for themselves. They fail to serve. They misuse others. Take advantage of others, deprive others. Yes, the world is full of them. Hopefully, none of them are in this room because God says he will scatter them. And God will then exalt the humble. Mary then moves on to talk about God's love. In verse 54, he hath holpen his servant Israel, helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now, you see, God remembered his mercy. Israel, us, we desperately needed God's mercy. We needed God's deliverance. The Israelites, they were enslaved by the Romans at that time, and they were looking for deliverance. Some, during that time of occupation by Rome, they were turning to false messiahs. They were turning to false gods to escape their problems. They were looking for ways to escape their problems. Some were even finding their security in the Roman state. Okay, let's just go along and we'll be secure. The humanistic answers to life instead of God. Just like they, we do that today. People go after false gods to escape their problems. We follow along the humanistic philosophy in our culture. Mary proclaimed that the Lord had remembered his mercy, and he remembered his promise of the Messiah. See, he had promised the Messiah to the fathers of Israel, generations back before that, to Abraham, to Abraham's seed. And now the promise is being fulfilled. John chapter 10, verse 24, "Then came the Jews round about him, Jesus, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Just a quick thought. A lot of people say they're Christians. Jesus said, those that are, follow him. Saying we are doesn't mean we are, but how are we living our lives? There's the fruit. There's the proof. Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Are you in God's hand? Jesus came, as we've been looking at here, what a demonstration of God's mercy for us. And he did all of that for you. For you. Because of his goodness, because he is good, because he is mercy, because he is love. He could do nothing else but this. And so he gives us Jesus. Some believe. Most will not. Don't be a part of the most, because as we read in Psalms there, or in Mary's last words, he will scatter them. Separate them from those that believe when Christ returns, or when our life on this earth ends. Everyone doesn't go to heaven. Some will. But as the Bible points out, most won't, because they've not followed John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's why all religions don't lead to God. They leave Jesus out. He's the only way. Don't leave Jesus out of your life. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then my friend, I have to ask you this. Are you following him? As Jesus said, my sheep hear me, they know my voice, and they follow me. Are you following him? Let's bow our heads, please. God, I pray if someone here in this room this morning is not even in your hand, you have brought them here today for this reason, to hear of their need for a Savior. Mary recognized she needed a Savior. I pray that folks here today, those listening through our live stream, will recognize they need a Savior, and they will trust you as their Savior. They will seek your forgiveness for their sins. God, for those of us that are in your hand, we try to jump out way too often. We wander away. God, I pray this time, this morning, would be used to bringing us back in as your Spirit works in each person's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.